Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, buzzers, what's going on? Thank you for joining us for the home edition of AfterBuzz TV's Batwoman After Show. And what better way to spend your hiatus than with some of the actors. So Katie and I are so excited to bring with us today Mr. Sam Littlefield. You know him as Mouse. So hey, Sam, how's it going?
Great. I mean, I'm as good as can be expected. Yeah. How about yourself?
Yeah. I'm doing fantastic. Katie, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, it's nice doing shows during the daylight. I like it, you know.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. For sure. Awesome. Cool. So first and foremost, I wanted to check on you, Sam, and see how you've been doing. I know that you were go, go, go for such a long time. And then all of a sudden the world just came to a halt and you got sent home. So how have you been spending your quarantine?
I mean, it's actually a pretty epic story. We were filming the finale the day after Trump had called for a national emergency. And I wasn't really comfortable getting on a plane, so I took a Greyhound bus across the border into Seattle. And I stayed with my sister for a month and then took a massive SUV down the coast. And I just got home to LA 3 days ago.
Oh my gosh, wow.
Nutty. I had like live on the Greyhound, I was holding Lysol wipes up to my face with my eyes closed the entire time. But I've had the most incredible time, honestly. I mean, spent time with my sister and my nephews and, you know, just having a lot of spending a lot of lovely moments thinking about life and trying to survive this.
I saw that you became a barber during your hiatus.
Yes, I did. What do you think?
That's good.
I want to talk a little bit about the show, though. First, like from the very beginning, let's talk about the audition process, because I know as an actor, it can be a bit scary and intimidating, and there's usually a few rounds. Can you share with us your experience?
Yeah, it was really quick. There was one scene about a page long. It didn't really make much sense to me at the time. I went in, I did it once, and I left, and I got the part. But David Rappaport is the casting director. He's so awesome, and I've been auditioning for him for a while now, so he's known me for some time. But this was really the easiest audition I think I've ever had, ever.
So then basically it was meant for you.
Someone thought so.
Katie, check in with me. Can you tell me who's in the chat or if anybody has anything they want to say?
Yeah, we have Josh Herrera. He said, another interview, bat-tastic. Holy crap, it's Mouse. Holy crap, it's Mouse. And then we have Mercenary X84 saying, always great to see an interview with someone from the cast. So we have some happy viewers to see us with another interview during this off season. So thank you to our wonderful viewers. We appreciate it. If you guys have questions, just send them my way. And we're going to do rapid fire at the end. So if you think of some short answer questions, just please send them up to the chat and I'll do my best to make sure we can give him your questions. So
awesome. Yeah. Sam, let's talk about your character. Cause I mean, Mouse is like such a rich character with so many layers. So where did you even begin the process of getting into his mind?
It was very much like from the outside in. We did, I have the most incredible hair and makeup team. I'm normally blonde short hair. And it started with, they gave me hair extensions, which takes 10 hours to put in.
Oh.
But just a ton of hair and makeup tests and, you know, just little by little, it was a slow progression of me understanding who Mouse was. getting little tidbits, scenes that were written along the way, and having lots of conversations with Rachel in particular about our relationship and where we came from, you know, what it was like down in that basement, and just trying to sort of sew together a narrative that made sense for me, so that I could, you know, try and tell it as truthfully as I could. But, you know, looking back at the whole arc, now that I've done the whole season, looking back on it, it's just such a cool progression that he goes to through. And I feel so lucky. I just feel so lucky that I got such a cool character to play.
Right. No, but emotionally for you, because I know when you do, so when you're done with a scene like that and you have to walk away, how easy or hard is it for you to let all of that go?
How hard is it? I don't think it's that. I kind of let it go. I kind of like, yeah, right when I get done. I remember the fear tugs, and it was so much like heavy breathing. I thought I was getting sick afterwards, because it is what it is in that moment. Right. And then, you know, you kind of let it go, and it's, you know, great fun pretend land, you know?
That's cool. I'm glad. I mean, that's neat that you can separate yourself, because I know some people, and the reason why I brought up the prosthetic especially is because, you know, you turn around and you see yourself in the mirror, and I'm sure at first it was maybe an adjustment, you know?
There was this one scene, that's coming up in this next episode, where I remember I was just really struck with how sad it was for Mouse, and just anyone who has kind of has a background like that of an abusive parent or whatever. You know, it's pretty devastating. I don't know. I've had little moments of that being peppered in. Just the story of it is sad, you know?
Yeah. Katie, I know you'd had some questions about the prosthetic process.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of touched on it a little bit, but, you know, you did say that you're in makeup and hair for 10 hours. So, you know, that obviously adds a lot more time to your day than maybe some of the others who don't have makeup. So does that help your get into character with all that makeup? Or is it make it just like more exhausting? Like, kind of talk a little bit about that process and stuff like that.
First of all, it takes 10 hours to put in the hair extension. So they have to do that, they do that 3 or 4 times throughout the course of the season. But putting on makeup takes about 2.5 hours every day. I just loved my hair and makeup team. Jen, Felix, Sam, Dana, Heather. I was able to kind of download and throw around some ideas about the scenes that I was doing, and sort of decompress and kind of get into the zone of playing Mouse. That was almost, you know, that was part of some of my favorite moments and memories throughout the course of it, was just spending so much time with such a cool group of women. And it does, I mean, you know, I mean, you put on that makeup, and it, you know, you're immediately just struck with how devastating it is, you know, to think of a little boy to be marred that way, and to be forced to you know, try and live amongst society, and being told that he's, you know, not welcome there. That makeup was very informative, and I really appreciated and loved it. It was obviously such a massive part of who Mouse is.
How do you think he justifies some of his behavior, though? Because of the fact that he did come from such a tumultuous upbringing. And when you're a child of abuse, I mean, you think about in that time, you're scared and all those things. But then as an adult, he's now inflicting pain on other people.
I think it's kind of sort of twofold. There's... I think he kind of sees it as pretend. It's like being down in the basement with Alice, playing with, you know, Barbies and G.I. Joes. And if you murder someone, it's not necessarily, I don't think it really rings true as like an actual homicide in his mind. I think he just sees it like he's playing a video game or something like that. But when you get sort of deeper into the story and, you know, kind of the revenge and the justification for his actions for people that are he interpersonally has a history with, I think it takes on a new justification that actually is your I think it is up and coming. Ah! I don't know if I can say that, but yeah, there's okay. Interesting.
We get you.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. Katie, is there any questions in the chat? I don't want to ignore anybody over there.
Well, there's some people asking about some stuff that we are going to talk about later, chat. So don't worry, I'm not avoiding your questions, but we will be talking a bit about some of the questions that you asked. But one of the, Adam Rodriguez said, what is your favorite scene that you've shot on the show?
I really, let's see, what was my favorite scene? The hospital scene with my dad. John Emmett Tracy is such a fabulous person and an actor. That scene was so hard to do. We shot it at 6 a.m. We'd been filming all day. They were doing a ton of stunts. And it's just a very loaded scene. I mean, I'm facing my father. And but he was just such a lovely partner. But working with Rachel is just, I mean, she's just so wonderful and in so many respects and such a fabulous actress. And it's hard to choose from, but I do remember that scene just, you know, walking away from it being like, oh, you know what one I really loved was the one that Rachel and I did where I put the fear toxin on her. And that was such a collaborative effort between everyone. And I just remember walking away from that scene and just feeling so proud of the entire team.
Wow.
So, okay, now, that was a long answer.
No, it's fine.
That was a great answer. I think I want to go a little bit going back into your research for this character. Did you reference any of the source material? Because I know a lot of times your character has been compared to Jane Cartwright.
Yeah.
Did you pick up any of the comics and start reading before you took this role?
John Emmett Tracy actually gave, he gave me a book. I don't know if I can reference it, but he gave me a book that had a lot to do with Jane Doe and, so there was that, but I mean, it's interesting because it's not, you know, I mean, he is made up for this show. He is not, there's nothing that really, we are creating this character for the DC universe. And that was very interesting and daunting, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, the reason I ask is because I know for us, we have a lot of really comic book heavy fans that watch our after show and they'll reference the material a lot of times when we're doing stuff. But then you do have your people who get really angry when you go against what is written in the comic book. So have you ever experienced any type of backlash or anything like that?
I really try hard to stay away from that stuff. I've gotten caught in the web of reading Twitter. And that really just ebbs and flows from week to week. And as a precaution for myself, I try and just stay away from that stuff. But I totally understand that people feel really passionate about this stuff. And all I can say is everyone really tries to do their best to, respect the fans and their appreciation for the, you know, the source material.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of that and being passionate about, Katie, I'm sorry, did you want to say something?
I did have one more other question just about like the whole process of being a villain on the show. Obviously, some of the best villains are the ones that the viewers empathize with, even for a moment. That means they're dangerous because you think at one point you're like, okay, what they're doing makes sense. It's just the way that they're doing it that's not okay. So is there any type of qualities that you see in Mouse that are why people empathize with him or like his redeeming qualities?
Well, I think his great love for Alice, I think that he is so incredibly devoted to her and loves her. And while it is such a, there's some toxicity in there, but
a little bit. Yeah.
But there's still just a great level of admiration and, you know, what they went through. I think that everybody can relate to trauma and doing your best to try and overcome it and still trying to, you know, be a full person. I think that's impossible not to relate to. And I hope that people can with Mouse, because I think that, you know, that's what he carries that on his shoulders every day of his life, every interaction that he has in his life. And it's always on his face. So I, you know, I don't know. I hope, I think that, you know, people might maybe cut him a break.
Yeah, I think so. I think people understand.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for trying that.
You know, it's so funny because a lot of times we'll bring up this thing where I call it who I love to hate. And it's like the character that you love to hate him because he just is so awful. But the reason you love him is because the actor that plays him is doing such a good job. So you definitely fall into that category.
Thank you. That's so nice. Thank you.
I love to meet you, Sam.
It's so nice to meet you. Yeah.
But, you know, speaking of relatability, like, I think this show does a wonderful job of that. And we talked about that with Nicole, actually, the other week, as far as the CW being so great with diversity. And, you know, everyone always talks about Batwoman being the first female superhero that was part of the LGBT community. Did you feel like you were well prepared for having people either love or hate you in that essence as well, too?
I'm not totally understanding the question. So with it being LGBT, go on, sorry.
Okay. So, you know, I talk a lot, so excuse me. But, you know, we saw that a lot of reviews and feedback, and maybe because you don't read the reviews, but it's like some people are like, this is amazing. It's such a trailblazing step forward in today's day and age. But then you also have your people that are like 8 years behind. You know, have you ever had to deal with any of that backlash?
With this show in particular, I have not. What I can say though is that you know, the role that Ruby is playing, it's a very difficult line to walk. She is the first. And what was that movie with Claire Danes where she plays the first female actress in a Shakespeare company?
Oh, I do not know.
It was such a good movie, but Billy.
I forgot what it
Billy
is. Kuda. I know.
Something.
I know what you're talking about.
Okay, but there's this scene in it where she says, "You know, am I any good?" And the man that she's talking to says, "It doesn't matter. You are the first. There is no comparison." Mm-hmm. And in a lot of ways, Ruby's sort of walking this line of being the first gay superhero, lesbian superhero, to carry a show. And I think that any time that something new comes along, it's going to be faced with adversity. And it takes time for people to accept new things in their lives. And I welcome that because we are breaking boundaries and we're making something that's accessible to, you know, if there's a 13-year-old girl out there who's gay, doesn't have anybody to reflect back at them, her experience and her life, we're filling that void. And I'm so proud that we would be able to give that to someone because I didn't have that growing up. No, none of us did. And
How do you think that would have changed your upbringing a little bit? I mean, I know I've seen other things, like you were raised in Utah, you were Mormon, excuse me, my phone just fell. Was it a little bit harder for you to come out and then also not having something like that on TV to maybe give you the courage to do so?
You know, yeah, sure. I mean, I think for all of us, if we don't have archetypes, you know, the media is such a powerful tool. And if you're seeing all these different iterations of what a man is or what a woman is or what a relationship is, if you don't have that being reflected back at you, that makes it tougher. You don't have role models. And I think that role models are really important when you're forming your own personality and kind of creating who you are. I think that it can only help to have that kind of influence in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So then who's your role model?
I really love my grandma. My grandma was, she had a debilitating stammer, but she was an incredible opera singer. And she actually got me into the arts. She would play for me, you know, musicals and movies and read poetry to me. And she really taught me about what art was. I come from a very like art appreciating family. But yeah, my grandma was really big for me. My dad was really big for me. So many. All of my friends are my role models.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't know.
Katie, you sounded like you wanted to say something.
I was just going to reference that. We have the Captain K. Danvers Kane tuning in from Sweden. I think it's Sweden. Yeah, Sweden again. Cool. She said that she managed to stay awake because I believe it's like 3 in the morning. It's like early in the morning. I'm not sure what time it is over there. But she's joined in for our interview with Nicole as well. And that woman is one of the reasons why she was able to come out, that character. So she did share that story with us. And so, you know, what you were talking about with having those people on TV and those things on TV to relate to other people, it is coming even with this show. And I mean, it was the comics, but still, so she's just a big fan of the show. I mean, she stayed up late to see this interview because it means so much to her. So, yeah.
Hi, what's her name again?
I don't know her real name, but it's Captain K. Danvers Kane on YouTube.
So, hi, Captain K's number.
Kane.
So, I wanted to ask you too, like a little off the wall, but the little boy who plays a young version of Johnny, did you have the opportunity to work with him a little? I know you guys weren't in the same scenes, but per se, but talk about the character and making sure that there was some fluidity to him.
You know, we did not have that much time together. There were a couple days in the makeup trailer. He's awesome. I mean, he's just the coolest little kid. He's just always reading his book, and he's so smart and really engaging. But no, we didn't really have. All of his flashbacks were, you know, being filmed on other sets on different days. So I really got to know him through other people's experience with him. Telling me about him. It was more, you know, John and Emmett Tracy, we ended up kind of getting to work together later down the line, but I didn't have much experience with him.
So could you share with us then, maybe this one might be like putting you on the spot a little bit, but like a story from set that's just like a memorable moment. Whether it be something embarrassing or heartwarming, but something that just really stuck out to you that you're like, I'm never gonna forget this.
From filming?
Yeah.
Give me a second.
No worries.
It's okay.
We filmed most of our stuff. We filmed in this former mental institution that was shut down.
Oh. Okay, that's great.
And there was this whole thing about the fourth floor, and you shouldn't go up to the fourth floor. So James Healy, who works on, someone who's in the crew, he and I and two other members of the crew went up to this fourth floor. And right when we get up there, I immediately feel this like massive punch in my chest. And I freak out and I turn to them and they go, oh my God, I just felt this incredible punch in my chest. So we all went darting downstairs, and we were all, the entire night, we were like, did we just get in, like, have we been ghosts? Have they, what is the word?
Not exorcist. The opposite of
exorcism.
Yeah, the opposite of exorcism. Did we just get the opposite of exorcism? there was a day when Rachel was outside, and James takes one of my flesh masks and pace it to the one of the windows, and somebody goes, Rachel, look up there. There's someone saying hi to you. And it was one of my flesh masks. So,
oh my God.
He freaked out. And, yeah.
Oh, you speak so highly of her. Like, what has been your relationship with her? And what did you guys do to get to know each other a little bit more?
I mean, it started, we were doing pickups in Chicago, and Rachel just really took me under her wing. I mean, she'd been filming the season for four episodes before I came on. So she really showed me the ropes. I don't know, over time, I just really came to understand that I totally dug her. And she's such a generous scene partner. She is so intelligent. She's a very thoughtful human being. We just had my birthday, and we had the most incredible time. I don't know. I really I love her. I can't say enough about her. She's just a good person.
And Katie, I wanted to ask you, because I do want to talk a little bit about your history, Sam. But before I move on into that, I want to make sure I haven't left out any questions from the chat. Or from you.
Some of the questions are going to be in our lightning round, because they're a lot faster questions. So I see you, chat. Don't worry, I'm not forgetting about you. But the Captain K Danvers Kane was curious if there would be, if you think that like Mouse and Alice might ever try to use fear toxin on Kate.
I can't really say.
I know that
Mouse would like to.
Yeah, gotcha.
But I can't.
No worries.
I can't really say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our chat's smart. They're pretty perceptive sometimes. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
They want those they want those little juicy details, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe if we word it a certain way, we could trick him in answering.
Mime it for me.
Yeah.
Big symbol.
Okay, blink once or blink twice. So I want to talk about your career a little bit, because I mean, I'm sure you started way before, but some of your earliest credits are in the very, very early 2000s, and we're here in 2020, you know, and it's a marathon, it's not a race, but you've done so many cool things. So I'd like to know a little bit more about how you got involved. Yeah, I guess involved in acting and how it took off.
Well, it started, I was nine. Wrote and produced this play, How Magic Came to Be. And my teacher referred me to this. There was a local theater company that was doing, do you know the musical Nine?
Mm-mm. Oh, you can come with you bars if you like.
It's a very cool musical. It's kind of like Philip Glass. It's very, very intricate score. But I started doing it then. I got into film and television when I was around 18. And I moved to LA and I worked on a Pamela Anderson TV show where I played twin brother and sister. And then the brother kidnaps the sister and he poses as the sister in order to get this $1 billion chocolate formula that she owns.
Wow.
Interesting.
Some of my finest work.
But that's actually really
playing twins.
Yeah.
Nice. Also, too, with that, what got you interested in creating some of your own projects?
You know, I think it's a mix of, I really respond to story. Like as an actor, it's, you know, people say, I always ask, you know, what kind of roles would you like to play? I don't really think of it that way. There's not really a certain character that I would just love to play. I just really love good stories. And so from a story perspective, I've wanted to kind of approach it from that angle, which has gotten me into writing. And also too, like, you know, there's been some dry spells here and there where, you know, I'm such a proponent of making your own work.
Yeah.
And using your own voice. No one has your voice. No one can say what you can say in the way that you can say it.
Right.
Did that answer your question?
It did. I know that you've also had films featured in South by Southwest, the Cummings Film Festival, which is like a huge honor and very difficult to get into. So this is such a loaded question to say how you went about doing that. So I guess I'll take a step back and just say, what was your reaction when you found out that you got in?
To South by or Cannes?
I mean, both, they're both pretty big.
South By was really, you're talking about Mother's Little Helpers, which is actually coming out May 5th. But South By was a particularly really incredible experience because the team of people that were a part of it are, you know, it's a story about, four siblings who go home, to say goodbye to their mother, and they're stuck at home in isolation, losing their minds, which is very strange that now in this era moment, this
is happening.
So it's crazy that this movie's coming out at this time, but I really loved the people that I was doing it with. They were like family. And the director has this traveling RV karaoke bus that goes around, tours around all over the place. And you go in and it's like a portal into just pure joy. So we had at our disposal this incredible karaoke bus going around Austin, Texas during South by Southwest to premiere our film. And it was just the most badass experience. It was unlike anything else.
What was your joke? Sorry.
Well, Cannes was great. Cannes was awesome. It's Cannes, you know, it's Cannes. Cannes is a big deal. But South by really was true to my heart, and it really, it was a once in a lifetime experience that I'll never forget.
But see, the real question is what was your go-to karaoke song?
Oh,
can we hear a sample of it? Can I put you on
screen? No. Music of the Night, Phantom of the Opera, and I kill it.
Oh, nice.
I kill it. Yeah.
Nice. You go to the Broadway musical route then on karaoke.
I mean, I'm really good at karaoke. I don't know if I'm that good.
Nice.
Katie, did you want to get some more information on that?
So we did. No worries. So it did say that you said it's available on May 5th. Where can people see that on May 5th?
So I know that it's going to iTunes May 5th. There's going to be a rollout. I'm pretty sure it's going to Amazon right at the beginning. I know that it will be. I'm not sure that it's May 5th. But if you just follow me on Instagram, the Sam Littlefield, I'm going to have updates and everything, and I'll give anyone who's interested all the information that they need. But it is such a fun, lovely movie about a family in quarantine. And I really believe that this film offers people some comfort during this very challenging time, where hopefully they can sort of see their own lives kind of reflected back to them in a light, heartwarming way.
Awesome. All right. Thanks. Yeah. Well, and we'll try to make sure we like tweet about it too when we get closer and you have that information out so our fans can find out about it. So, and is there any other projects that are coming out in the near future that you've been working on that we can keep tuned into?
I mean, I've got a bunch of projects that have been in development. Everything, you know, the industry is in such a strange moment right now. I mean, well, the world, not just the industry.
Yeah.
The world is such a strange place right now. But, you know, I mean, I think everything's just kind of on hold. For the moment, I'm just really in this little press pocket for Mother's Little Helpers. And after that, I guess we'll just see.
Gotcha. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so I know that we're probably going to be winding down on time pretty soon. So why don't we start getting into our lightning round questions? Katie, do you want us to do our lightning round first, or do you want to do the fans' questions first?
I have a couple of fan questions we can ask first if we want to do it this way, since people have been pretty active this day. Ivan Soto, welcome. Okay. You didn't miss it. You're just tuning in for the very end. So welcome, Ivan. I believe it was Adam. Let me see. Yeah, it was. Sorry, one second. It was, Josh Herrera. Since we were talking about quarantine, this kind of goes along with it. What is the first thing you want to do after stay in place is lifted, other than working and getting back to like the normal run of things?
After stay in place or after I feel safe to like...
We can do that.
I mean,
once
I would
you
love
feel
to,
like you can.
I would love to travel. I really would. After the season was done, I was planning on going on a big traveling escapade. But I'd love to leave the country and, you know, go to Greece and Spain. And I'd love to go to Japan and South America. And it's just, I really hope That I can one day.
Gotcha. I think we all want to travel somewhere.
Yeah.
That's since we've all been living on our couches. So awesome. Yeah, thank you. And then the other one is, and this was kind of like one of my questions slash what the viewers keep asking is, who's your favorite Batman villain and who would you want to see on the show as a villain? So
the Joker.
The Joker. Who would you want to say play the Joker?
Me.
Oh, okay. That'd be nice.
Yeah, that's your answer.
I'm not mad at it. I mean, you have played twins, so why not, right?
Oh, why not? Why not?
All right, Katie, anyone?
And then there was one more by Adam Rodriguez, and it said, how do you pass time on set when you're like not when you're not filming?
I got an Oculus, what do you call them? Tetris is my, but I got a 3D composite, what do you call them? Where you go in.
VR? Yeah.
Okay.
Gotcha. VR. Gotcha.
Jeez.
Yeah. It's okay.
We can do this. I got a VR, and I would set up a big trailer and do that for long, extended periods of time. We watch movies a lot. Me and my makeup team, we would watch movies a lot. I really like to. I'm such a aimless wanderer. So I was, you know, killing the PAs because I would just go waltzing around, walking, looking up in the sky when they're like, where's Sam? That's mainly how I spent my time.
Awesome. Okay. Awesome.
Okay. So yeah. I'm going to go into my lightning round questions and then I'm going to throw it over to Katie. Who's an actor that you've learned the most from on set?
In our show?
Yes.
Rachel. Yeah, Rachel, her tenacity, her generosity, her generosity of spirit, and her willingness to just, you know, be there for you. Yeah, Rachel, for sure.
Okay, and the hardest scene you shot?
That scene that was, the hospital scene was the hardest scene. Yeah. It's really hard to act at 7 a.m. It's really, really hard.
And then what is the script / episode that shocked you the most?
Oh, it's coming out. Yeah, it's coming out. Yeah.
Same thing Nicole said.
Really?
Same thing Nicole said. That episode comes out next on Sunday, by the way, to our viewers. That's Sunday's episode, I believe, on the 26th.
Yeah, it's about, you guys, it's about to get really good. It's the scripts that... When these scripts started rolling out, I was like, damn, this is getting good. So
nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Awesome. So two more quick ones. Best DC comic book movie.
Batman Returns.
Okay. And then name one thing that you love and one thing that you hate about Mouse.
His face and his face. Yeah.
Well, okay.
Katie? Yeah, I have basically two more, which is there anybody you would love to see guest star on Batwoman, be it a character or an actor, more specifically actors, because we do like to know like who we think people would like to work with on the show.
I mean, I really want to just work with Jessica Lange at some point in my life. I don't know if, you know, but that, you know, I feel like she adds to anything that she ever does. And yeah, I'd love to see her. enter Batwoman. That would be.
I could see it. I could see her being able to fit in somewhere on that. And then the last question, which I know some of the other people in the chat also asked as well, was, do you see, or would you like to see Mouse have a love interest and or like, do you ship him and Alice? Even though, like, because they're not related.
Ask the second part again. Sorry, I didn't understand it. Do you ship?
So, like, do you ship Alice and Mouse as, like, a couple, even though they're not, because they're not technically brother and sister biologically?
I think that, to me, they really are brother and sister. I mean, it's just that kind of relationship. I would love to see Mouse have a relationship. I would love for Mouse to be able to experience that, especially since I don't think that audiences would expect it because they just see him in such a specific light, almost unlovable and, you know, and Yeah, for Mouse to, I think that would be really wonderful.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. Yeah, I think that's, we're about good on that. We answered most of them, so yeah.
Yay, congratulations. You made it through our lightning round.
Okay.
All right, awesome. Thank you. Yeah, so much for taking time out of your busy quarantine day, because I'm sure you probably still have lots of stuff to do. But we appreciate it. And for you guys who are watching at home, who tuned in, for those of you who stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning, thank you so much.
Yeah.
We're always excited to have you joining us, and Katie for being with me as well too. So thank you. And to our engineers. So yeah, real quick, I know you said it once before, but let's give everybody a reminder where they can find you or find more information about you and your films.
Yeah, Mother's Little Helpers, it comes out May 5th. If you follow me on The Sam Littlefield on Instagram, I believe my Twitter's, I'm never on Twitter. Don't follow me on Twitter. And you can find Mother's Little Helpers, it's at Mother's Little Helpers on Instagram as well.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
And
Katie, go to samlittlefield.com. Please go to samlittlefield.com.
Yes. Yes. Katie, can you give us your handles and give everybody a shout out, please?
Yeah. You can find me on KT_Christine on Twitter and Instagram. Pretty active on both, especially right now, and on other shows on AfterBuzz. You know, when we're coming back next week with Batwoman, you can watch that. I'm also on the Riverdale After Show. And shout out to Ivan Soto and Captain K. Danvers Kane and Star Drew. I didn't see that one before. And Adam. We appreciate you folks so much. And Ivan got here late, but he wanted me to say that these past episodes have been amazing. So the fact that you said it's even more good is like, he's excited about it. So.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys at home so much. Thank you, Sam. And we will see you guys next week for the Batwoman After Show. I'm Ali Kona Bradford. Follow me at yours truly, Ali Kona, with underscores in between on Instagram. So until then, mwah.
Bye, everyone.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.